Good morning. We pray. O Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to embrace all that you teach. Grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Raise your hand if you're an alto. Not everybody seemed anxious to raise their hand. So are you happy or sad about the fact that you were placed in the alto section? If sad, I can understand. Just wait. There's not much glory in being an alto. The sopranos get the melody. They get the attention. The tenors often get the melody, and even when they don't, they get to sing parts that sound like death's hands. As for the basses, these bombastic baritones are happy doing the Baroque bounce or booming in the vocal basement. But the altos, well, the altos are the true heroes of the choir. Once in a while, a sympathetic composer will write a wonderful part for the altos. But more often than not, they're left singing the same note over and over. If the alto part was sung alone, it probably would not be very melodic. This is the very reason why the altos are the unsung heroes of the choir. They carry out their mission without the thought of personal glory. But they do it for the sake of the whole choir. If they were to stop singing their part, it would sound hollow, like something is missing. Even if we don't know what it is, we would notice something's wrong. The altos fill in the blanks left by the other's parts. In this sense, we might compare the alto section to our life as Christians. John the Baptist said of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John the Baptist was a very important figure in the history of the world. Jesus even said of him, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." John is the one whom God sent to pave the way for the coming of the great Messiah. And this coming, this event, was a pivotal point, the pivotal point in the history of the world. All that came before and everything that comes after rotates around this center, this transcendent event. And of all the people in the world, of all time, God chooses one man, John the Baptist, to prepare the way for this Savior of the world. Now, John could have carried out his mission in such a way that people would glorify him for it. But no. He did it in a way that focused all of the attention on Jesus. He must increase, but I must decrease. So what about us? In a way, we're like John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus' entrance into the world in a state of humiliation. We prepare the way for Jesus in respect to individuals. Whether we do this by talking to a friend or a neighbor or a co-worker or by becoming a pastor or a teacher or by giving our support to the mission work of the church. We're putting ourselves forth to prepare the way for Christ to enter into the hearts of individuals. Somebody else. The question is, do we do this for personal glory? Is Pastor Todd Ullman going overseas as our missionary for personal glory? If we point and say, there is Jesus, and everybody rushes past us, leaving us in the dust, in order to get to Jesus, is that okay? During the first half of the 20th century, the Pieper brothers were leaders in Orthodox Lutheranism in our country. Franz was in the Missouri Synod Seminary. August was in the Wisconsin Synod Seminary. Both of them wrote books that are still being used in our seminary. So, in Orthodox Lutheranism, their names are remembered. What about their mother? What was her name? This was the woman who raised these two boys, who taught them about Jesus Christ, who brought the message of the Word of God to them and instilled in them a zeal for Jesus and for the truth of His Word. Well, who was she? She did her service to God in the quiet seclusion of the home, without fanfare. But without her work, Franz and August would probably be names long forgotten. Her name was Bertha. So it has been with many, many mothers and fathers, many teachers and professors. They labor in the shadows because they're not doing it for personal glory, but for the glory of Christ. And that's as it should be, for He must increase and we must decrease. What lies ahead for you? Would you like to accomplish something so great that your name will be written in the history books, that your name will be remembered for generations to come? Would you like to be mentioned on the lips of future generations? Perhaps making some contribution to the world of medicine, or politics, or science, or sports, or education, or blowing the biggest bubble? Or would you prefer that as a result of what you have done, the name of Jesus is remembered and you are forgotten? Nobody is going to be saved by remembering what you have done. Jonas Salk discovered the cure for polio, and many millions of people were probably spared that dread disease. But death still came upon them all, and eternity still faced them all. He who discovered and delivered a cure for death, that's his name is what should be remembered. He who brought forgiveness for all our sins, He who covered us with His righteousness, He who made us completely acceptable in the sight of God, He who will with open arms receive us into everlasting glory, He needs to be remembered. So we are the altos in the choir of Jesus Christ. We sing His praises, not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring glory to Him, even as our whole tour choir does, not for personal glory. It's enough that we stand in His shadow, and that He increases while we decrease. We pray. O Lord Jesus, use us to bring glory to Your name, so that others will be saved by looking to You. Grant this for Your own name's sake. Amen. Hymn 757, verse 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.